Well, thank you for joining us in the always coveted post-lunch section of the conference, and as we know how that goes, especially when it's a couple hours after and everybody's food has settled in. Actually, we're really excited to present the Violence Prevention Initiative here at APHA. As we know, the call for abstracts came out quite some time ago, and at the time, you know, we submitted, we were really hoping that this would get accepted. So it's a great opportunity to present, and I'm here with two of my community partners, Brenda Barton and Sean Smith, and together the three of us will talk about VPI. So I'm excited to share with you our information. For disclosure purposes, the three of us, Stacey Young, Sean Smith, Brenda Barton, we don't have any relationships to disclose. So the Violence Prevention Initiative is what I consider to be a really dynamic relationship of different community-based organizations, the Medical College of Wisconsin, and researchers, and our community members, individuals, families, organizations working together to prevent violence. And what I hope that we're able to convey with our presentation is the importance of collaboration and working together, because there are so many different folks that are at the table for this particular project. So as an overview, I'm going to first talk a little bit about our organizational structure and our background and priority goals and priority areas and goals. And Brenda and Sean will then talk a little bit about the community partnership teams that they represent. And then we'll have time, hopefully, then to cover research and evaluation and our vision for the VPI. So a little bit of background that's important to note with the Violence Prevention Initiative. This actually was brought forth as a result of funding that was available through the Medical College of Wisconsin, through the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program. And it actually was a special initiative that was funded in part from Blue Cross Blue Shield conversion dollars. Some of you might be familiar with that in your own particular states. But the conversion dollars in Wisconsin were used for the two different medical schools to put forth an agenda to address the health of residents in Wisconsin. And the special initiative at the Medical College of Wisconsin is around violence prevention. So a little bit of information about Milwaukee for those of you that may or may not be familiar with our wonderful city. We're right on Lake Michigan, about 90 minutes north of Chicago, and I have some different icons there on the right that some folks might recognize that people tend to think of when people say Milwaukee. Laverne and Shirley was there, Happy Days. But one thing I wanted to highlight is the fact that there's a lot of different manufacturers represented. Milwaukee is very much a city that has a history of manufacturing and is now more of a service industry. So this is a very detailed graphic of our current organizational structure. It represents both academic and community partners. And I realize you're not going to be able to see all of the detail from the back, but we'll make sure we have our PowerPoint available on our website. But it represents both our academic and community partners. And the fact that in the middle, we have a number of different subcommittees and groups that are equally represented by both sides. And the VPI is grounded in the socio-ecological model, which I'm sure is public health conference attendees, many of you would be familiar with the fact that we're working not only with individuals, but the fact that people exist in this larger context of family and community. We have three different priority areas for the VPI. The first one, preventing and intervening early with our youth age 0 to 11 years, motivating and influencing our 12 to 17 year olds, primarily through leadership development and capacity building. Capacity building being our third priority area that we're working across different schools and community organizations. One of our first two teams that were funded through the VPI, one of our partnership teams, is the United Neighborhood Centers of Milwaukee. And it actually includes eight different organizations that are all independent 501c3 organizations founded out of the Settlement House movement. You might be familiar with that. And they're bringing their programs to the VPI for funding, or they have been funded. And this is a organizational structure of the United Neighborhood Centers. So we have parent action councils, youth leadership councils, and different affinity teams. And this is across all eight organizations across the city of Milwaukee. And another one of our partnership teams is the Safe Schools, Healthy Students, Lindsay Heights Initiative. And this actually is also funded or was funded at the national level. But it includes a partnership of Milwaukee Public Schools, the Fire Department, Children's Service Society of Wisconsin, and the YMCA. We have four partnership teams total. I wanted to mention Safe Schools and the United Neighborhood Centers because those are the two partnership teams that were unable to be present today. So I will transition then to Sean, who's going to talk about the Holton Youth and Family Center and their work.
Was that your timer to make sure you were here?
I had it on mute. I don't know why that went off.
Hi, my name is Sean Smith. I'm the Director of Training at Wisconsin Community Services in Milwaukee. Here's Milwaukee County again, about 1 million folks. And my arrow went white for some reason, but right here, this is where the Holton Youth and Family Center is within the city. And I just want to kind of take you into it a little bit and explain what's going on here. So here's the Holton again. Here's Holton Street. On this side, you've got the Harambe neighborhood. And on this side, you have the River West neighborhood. The Harambe neighborhood, primarily African-American, disproportionately marginalized. Lots of folks moving in and out of the criminal justice system for year or 2 year stays because of drug charges, disrupting families, lots of violence, poverty, gang activity. And over on the River West side, you've got more of an alternative, eclectic neighborhood. Sort of a late 60s vibe going on in the River West neighborhood. And if you go further east, you run into University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and a little further east, you run into the lake, and of course it becomes very affluent along the lake, and a little affluent northeast of here. So here's the Holton right here on this border between these two neighborhoods. And the Holton has a storied history. It was opened in about 1998, and it closed in 2008 because of the economic crisis. And all of the stakeholders that had been a part of this little dot here in Milwaukee didn't want to let it go. And so they found a way to bring it back together over a period of time. I'm refraining from telling you a story. So here it is again, the Holton. You can see primarily a residential area. And there it is. And I want to take you inside this building and kind of talk about how we rejuvenated the Holton Youth and Family Center because of a relationship with the Medical College of Wisconsin. Now, this room is a very important room at the Holton. It's the library. And around this table sat all the partners in the Holton Youth and Family Center Collaborative that worked for about 4 months every other Wednesday for 2 hours on Wednesday to put together an operational design. We didn't say, we're going to do this program. We chose from an array of programs that MCW had done a great job of resourcing, giving us a whole big giant spreadsheet of programs to look at that are evidence-based, and say, okay, how do we fit these things together so that they work? So as I said, when the Holton went dark, that funder had left, that operational entity had left. And so Running Rebels, which is a gang reduction outfit working with juveniles, very effective, very grassroots. You won't find them listed on the NREP website, but they're just as effective. NREP is National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices. Just as effective as any program you'd find on there. And you've got us, Wisconsin Community Services, working with folks involved in the criminal justice system at the adult level or juvenile level. I've got a minute and a half. Above the Clouds, a small faith-based arts organization, very tiny. And when MCW came along and said, hey, we've got this partnership opportunity, we decided we needed to add some more people to the table. So the district attorney's office is at our table, the Maleka Early Learning Center, because we needed someone 0 to 12 that would help us out with that programming, because most of us were working with adolescents. MPD, the District 5 unit, and Safe and Sound, which some of you are probably familiar with. So this made up our collaborative, and we came up with this operational design that is based on the structure of PBIS, Positive Behavioral Intervention Supports, universal tier, targeted tier. Third tier is like high intervention. So our universal tier looks very much like an after-school program. Our targeted tier is a little more focused in regards to the parenting aspect and also alternatives to incarceration or adjudication. And these were decided upon by reviewing over 50 evidence-based practices and programs. How much?
1 minute.
1 minute. And so I'm going to jump to that and let you know that how did we, this is the thing I wanted to show you. How did we pick 20 people around this table for 4 months? How did we pick the out of these 50 evidence-based programs, which one we're going to use? This is what we used. You can see here we set forth various criteria. We broke up the room into fours and said, you take these two, you take these two, and report back out. And so there's a cost, staffing, alignment with the VPI goals, those three goals that Stacy showed you. Setting, we're a youth center. Is it supposed to happen in the youth center, or is it supposed to happen inside a correctional facility? We need something here. The data review alignment. We looked at data from the district attorney's office, the MPD, our own data, juvenile justice and local community. And you can see on down the line all the different criteria we looked at, and we weighted it different. And that's how we built by consensus our operational design. But who is missing from this picture? Youth, the community. Thank you. The community is missing from this picture. And they were at the table in regards to the MCW's pre-launch community action recommendations. Pages of things that the community had said that they needed through listening sessions that MCW had done prior to releasing the funding for the partnerships. And we did afterwards do a community rollout where we had neighborhood residents come in, and the place was empty, right? And so we had on butcher block paper, this is what we're thinking of doing in this room, this is what we're thinking of doing in that room. And they voted on that. We reached out to the aldermen and all other local leaders. Other CBOs, we were there to enhance, not to supplant what they were doing, and the business community as well, which resulted in this happening outside and inside the HYFC.
Hello, I'm Brenda Barton. I'm with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Milwaukee, and we're a relatively new partner. This is our second year, and I should say a partnership team. We have, where do I go? Right here. Okay, this is our team. These are the people at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Milwaukee. So this is our internal team, but we also have people, other teams, other partners, which are listed right here. We're working with Marquette University Center for Peacemaking, St. Charles Youth and Family Services, Casa Romero Renewal Center, Milwaukee Public Theater, and Vistalar. So this group makes up our partnership team. And Marquette University, everybody knows about them, but the Center for Peacemaking, they actually created this evidence-based curriculum called PeaceWorks. And we're using PeaceWorks in our program. Traditionally, PeaceWorks was implemented in a school setting, so we've had to modify it a bit because our program is an after-school program. St. Charles, that is a local social service organization, and they do a lot of different things, but the program that we're specifically working with is the FOCUS program, and it's an alternative to corrections for adolescent youth males that... it's a residential treatment program, so we actually implement our RIM project within that facility. And then Casa Romero Renewal Center, they do a lot of retreats, and they're a bilingual organization. Historically, they've worked with a lot of Spanish-speaking people who have come into our city. For what they do with our project is they're involved in our youth leadership retreats and working with our leaders. And then Milwaukee Public Theater, that is an organization, an arts-based organization that's been around since the 1970s, and they're all about getting arts to the community, regardless of your age, your ethnicity, your ability. And then Vistalar is actually for-profit speaking group. They do a lot of training. That's their role in our partnership, is they provide some training, violence prevention training, for our staff and youth. So that's our team. And this is the program, the way it works. The Ripple, as you can see, we provide training for our facilitators. And then our facilitators, which include Boys and Girls Club staff and also Marquette University students. That's the other thing that Marquette brings to the table. We have, I think there's probably 12 university students that are co-facilitating our PeaceWorks curriculum at the, boy, that goes really fast. So anyway, let me just speed through here. The idea is that our kids are going to go through the program. young kids will become leaders within the organization, and they will also, in the next, after they've gone through the program, then they will become peer facilitators. There's opportunities for them to participate in youth leadership retreats and then community activities in the community. Red Tea, that's something that the Milwaukee Public Theater was involved in. They led a week-long drama workshops where kids learned how to act, they learned how to write, they actually wrote a play and a song, which they performed at six different locations, and then we're continually working on developing new partnerships. So we have new partnerships. This is actually a picture of the youth leadership retreat, which took place last year. This year we're going to be taking the kids out to our Camp Whitcomb Mason, so it's in a beautiful rural setting, and a lot of these kids hardly ever get out of the city, so they'll have two nights working with that woman in the middle is from Casa Romero, and she is our retreat person. Here's another project. This is another group of Marquette students that they're working with our kids. It's an Art Against Violence project. So, and they're going to be displaying that art in the city. And I'm probably out of time now. Okay. This is another depiction of what we're doing. We're trying to intersect with community, institutions, youth, and family. And that's one of our clubs. We're actually at six locations. The Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Milwaukee, we have over 44 sites. We're focusing on six sites, and one of the sites is the St. Charles site. And I think that's you.
So I'd like to take the last few minutes just to talk about research and evaluation. As you can get a sense just from listening to the last two conversations, with Brenda and Sean, just talking about the work that's done at Holton and with Boys and Girls Club, there's a lot going on. It would be difficult to do the entire project justice. So I wanted to make sure that I had a few minutes to talk about research and evaluation. The important thing I wanted to emphasize is that the collaboration was not just when it came to planning the different programs or activities that the partnership teams were going to move forward. A lot of our conversations and our collaboration has really been included research and evaluation. We have a team from the Medical College of Wisconsin that is leading that effort in our Injury Research Center, but it's very much included our community partners. So this graphic actually depicts some of the things that Sean was talking about, how we went through the list of evidence-based programs and tried to decide which ones would be the best fit, and could we implement those projects with fidelity and stay true to our priority and goal areas. And research and evaluation has been very critical for our work, primarily because that's what everyone tends to, that's what people are wondering about. That's what they ask about. How do we know that this is going to work? And to what degree can we attribute outcomes in Milwaukee to the work that the VPI is doing? We do have a logic model that's in place. I know the print on that is rather small, but we have it mostly just to depict that we have gone through a very specific or very deliberate stepwise process from inputs in our activities to what do we see as the outcomes. And actually, I want to go right to this particular slide, because we projected out for outcomes for VPI, what can we reasonably expect 1 to 3 years? 5 to 10 years out. Since we're taking a public health approach to violence prevention, it's no different than any other chronic disease. We're not going to necessarily address violence any quicker than we would expect to address diabetes or heart disease, the things that take years and years to address. But we did outline some things for 1 to 3 years out: youth asset measures, participation records. Are we noticing a change in school attendance or program attendance? 3 to 5 years out, youth fighting and incidents at the schools that are participating in our project, agency level effects, and I have a couple of comments about that with the next slide. And 5 to 10 years out, that's where we're expecting to see more of the shifts when it comes to violence-related ED visits, violence-related hospitalizations. Can we go back and look at some of our data that we can tie back to our trauma center in Milwaukee, Friedert Hospital, and be able to look and see, can we notice some of these changes as a result of VPI programming? So initially, some outcomes that I wanted to quickly talk about are social self-efficacy and aggressive behavior among the youth that are participating in our youth leadership program. So what we're seeing so far is what we're considering to be positive trends in protective factors among our youth participants. The blue line in the graphs depict the cumulative total across all 29 of our youth leadership participants. And the red, the green, and the purple lines are respective youth leadership councils at different partnership teams. So what we're noticing at baseline at the beginning of programming, which was approximately early 2012, we're seeing that there's some positive trends, you know, a slight uptick. I attribute some of that to the fact that once we've had youth participating after 6 months, they're probably more likely to share information with evaluation researchers and with staff members. So some of those numbers might go up. But what's exciting is to see that there's a positive trend at least 1 year out from programming. And finally, we've looked at organizational capacity. So it's not just the individuals that are participating or the families, but what about our organizations, all 29 that are participating, and the partnership teams? We're finding out by using the we used a tool by Annie Casey Foundation that specifically measures up to 50 different outcomes across 4 different domains. And when we implemented this with our first 2 partnership teams, We noticed improvement after 1 year, because we implemented this tool at 1 year after the programs began. So positive trends in organizational capacity, management capacity, and leadership capacity, and adaptive capacity across all of our partnership teams. So that's exciting to see that we're noticing some of those positive trends, not just in individuals, but in the organizations. And finally, it's our vision with VPI that ultimately we're improving the lives of Milwaukee families. Again, not just individuals, not just youth participants, but Milwaukee families by creating peaceful communities. And it's exciting to see the work that's happening across all of these different organizations. And our goal is to work more with our medical students, our graduate students, and collaborating with other public health initiatives to improve our work so we're not duplicating efforts that are already in place. That is our information. I'm certainly happy to answer questions after all of the presenters, and we'll also have our PowerPoint slides available on our website. Thank you very much.